Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're going to begin class again today with a Bible question. And I've heard from some of you that you enjoy these Bible questions. It tests your knowledge. And some of these questions, well, to me, some of these questions are very easy. And some of them would challenge me if I was trying to answer them as you are. But I guess if you know the answer, it's always easy. You know, questions are easy when you know the answer and difficult when you don't. I would say this might be one of the more difficult questions, though some of you, I'm going to be proud of you, because you're going to know the answer to this. We're studying about the children of Israel being in bondage in Egypt and how they were made to serve with bitter and hard bondage. And in studying that, we read about the cities that the children of Israel built while they were enslaved, and two cities are named. So here's the Bible question. What was the names of the two cities mentioned in Exodus chapter 1 that the children of Israel built while they were in bondage in Egypt? And I'll read you that answer in just a moment. If you have your Bible, you can read ahead, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11. But while you're thinking of that question, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to that Bible question? The names of two of the cities the children of Israel built for the Egyptians while they were in Egyptian bondage. Well, the answer is in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom, P-I-T-H-O-M, and Raamses, R-A-A-M-S-E-S. Now, if you knew the names of those two cities, I'm going to congratulate you as being an excellent Bible student, and I'm sure some of you knew that. And I probably wouldn't have been able to guess that if someone had asked me, but I should know that. You know, every little fact and facet of the Bible has its own interest, and perhaps it would be good someday to go into the old land of Egypt and to visit where they think these cities were, Pithom and Raamses. And there might be, among the rubble and ruins, and where the archaeologist digs, some remnants of the brick that the children of Israel made when they were in that kind of bondage. I want to return to the Sunday school lesson we're reading about this text in Genesis and in Exodus chapter 1. And this is for a Sunday school that were written, a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools written. A Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools of July the 4th, 1926. And we'd already begun this. We're talking about helps and hints for the teachers. And we've come to this paragraph. God said to Jacob, "Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation." Genesis 49:3. "And thou shalt answer and say before Jehovah thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and he became there a nation great and mighty and populous." Deuteronomy 26:5. And then Acts 7:17-18. "But as the time of the promise drew nigh, when God vouchsafed unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till there arose another king over Egypt who knew not Joseph." These scriptures, Genesis 46:3, Deuteronomy 26:5, and Acts 7:17-18, these scriptures show that this wonderful increase was made under the providence of God. The women were vigorous and healthy and suffered but little bearing children, according to verse 19. They increased from few to 603,550 men, besides women and children, Numbers 1, 45 and 46, in a period of 215 years. Now let's look at the explanatory notes for our text, beginning in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who knew not Joseph, not only another king, but another family of kings." Why, this was a new dynasty. Many scholars take this king to be Ramses II, Saul Sesostris in Greek history. And this king knew not Joseph, who forgot and disregarded the obligations Egypt was under to Joseph and his people, and who did not acknowledge or approve of the way in which Joseph was treated and the way the Israelites were then prospering. This expression is thus frequently used in the Bible. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel." Judges 2 and verse 10. "In them will I profess unto them, I never knew you." We read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. People often forget their benefactors, and therefore so do nations. And so lest the children of Israel become a danger to Egypt, they had this plan. We read in Exodus chapter 1, 9 and 10. "And he said unto his people," now this is the Pharaoh, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass, when there falleth out any war, that they also join themselves to our enemies and fight against us, and get them up out of the land." In Elam's Sunday School notes, we read, "This king thought the rapid increase and prosperity of the children of Israel should be checked for the reason given. They are more and mightier than we." The Israelites did not outnumber the whole of the Egyptians, but because of their unity as a people, in contrast with the internal strife of the Egyptians, they were more and mightier. Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their adversaries. Psalm 105, verses 23 through 24. The king doubtless made this speech to let council of his lords and wise men called together to consider the matter. He pointed out the dangers to which they subjected themselves in allowing the Israelites to continue as they were. One, lest in time of war they should ally themselves with the enemies of Egypt and fight against the Egyptians. And two, lest they get them up out of the land. Many of the most dangerous enemies of Egypt came from the east and would have to enter from the side which the Israelites occupied. It has been suggested that the shepherd kings, having overrun Egypt in the past for a number of years, and the Israelites being shepherds, aroused the suspicion and jealousy of this new king. So precautions were made to prevent the increase of the Israelites. We read in Exodus chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." This verse states the conclusion to which the king came is the best way to check the progress of the Israelites. He had two objectives in view. to get the work done and to destroy the Israelites through hard work. Hence, taskmasters were set over them to afflict them with burdens. The affliction was the principal thing sought. The taskmasters were chiefs or princes of burdens, works, or tribute. They were superintendents of public works. They appointed the work and exacted its performance. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And Jehovah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. And these cities were stored grain. And some have suggested they stored arms. Egypt produced an abundance of grain, and it was stored away in these cities as in our grain elevators. Doubtless this very idea of storing away grain came from the work of Joseph. These cities were in or near the land of Goshen. Ramses was no doubt the same as Ramesses in Goshen, the starting point of the Exodus, Exodus 12 and verse 37. Their ruins of the city of Pithom have been discovered, and it has been discovered that while the buildings were of brick, the bricks of the lower courses were well made with straw, and the ones of the top courses have no straw. The pyramids were erected long before this time, hence they were not the works in which the children of Israel engaged. It has already been stated that Pharaoh was the title and not the name of the kings of Egypt. But we read that the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. Their increase was in proportion to their affliction. In their affliction, the Lord was with them, as with Saul of Tarsus, so with all. It is hard to fight against the Almighty. None can withstand God or thwart His purpose. The Egyptians were grieved because of the children of Israel. This wonderful increase under such burdens alarmed them and caused them to loathe the children of Israel. And they made them work with hard and vigorous work. We read in Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard service, in mortar, and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve with rigor. This severity was increased, but as in Joseph's case, that which was intended for evil, God overruled it for good. The Egyptians did this to keep the children of Israel in Egypt. In God's purpose, it serves to keep them from ever returning. Someone has said that this, too, was an industrial and training school for the children of Israel. It solidified them as a nation and kept them separate from the Egyptians. It brought to them the use of mechanical arts in Egypt. It made them feel their dependence upon God and cry unto Him for help. It made them long for the promised land as they never had done before. It was hard enough, after all, for them to be weaned from Egypt. The children of Israel kept flocks and herds and followed agricultural pursuits. But now they were put not only to making brick, but all manner of service in the field. And their service was rigorous, hard, and bitter. Yet this did not check their increase. Egyptian bondage represents the bondage of sin. Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin, John 8:34. There are burdens too heavy to bear as one's own passions and sins. A sinner is a veritable slave, while the Christian is indeed God's free man. And with that, this Sunday school lesson came to a close, and we'll begin at the next lesson about Moses.